This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Amma ba'd, praise be to Allah, peace and prayers on His final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The topic I want to talk about is about learning and knowledge. Why? Because there are quite a few misconceptions and funny ideas about this. Firstly, from a perspective of learning and knowledge, ideas that Islam is backward, has nothing to do with learning and knowledge, and that all we do is perpetuate the idea of some people from ignorance, from deserts, from centuries by, and that we just keep on repeating these kind of ideas, and that we're against being a religion, the idea of science, geography, mathematics, etc. So partly is to counter that kind of idea. And when we talk about knowledge, of course, we're talking about knowledge and learning. Interestingly, when we look at these kind of misconceptions about Islam out there, to counter that is quite clear, in fact, when we look at Islam. In fact, Islam acted as a springboard for learning and a complete revolution in learning in the Middle East, where Islam first took hold, even in the Arabian desert. What is profound, in fact, not only was it a springboard for learning, but the people of learning who became a civilization of learning, and in all fields of science, geography, mathematics, medicine, you name it, there were people who had a strong Islamic background and strongly religious in their learning and understanding as well. What is also profound, actually, is that what we believe the first revelation that came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he used to retreat at the age of 40 in the cave of Hira, was to do with learning. In fact, the first word was Iqra, read or recite. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we know the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was unlettered. He was Nabi al-Ummi. He was who couldn't read and write. And this is well established and well known. Now, if you look at the first few verses of the Quran that are revealed, they are in fact an evidence not only of the encouragement for learning, but also an evidence of his truthfulness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Bismillah min shaitan rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Iqra, read, Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq, with the name of your Lord who created, Khalaqal insana min alaq, who created the human being from a thing which clings. Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, repeating the word read, and that your Lord is most bounteous. Alladhi allama bil qalam, he who taught by the pen. Allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam, taught the human being what they did not know. So here, an unlettered man who knows nothing about reading and writing, over 1400 years ago in Mecca, in a society that hardly knew anything about reading and writing, and the revelation or the words he's coming back with to that society is about reading and using the pen. To search for a pen, you'll probably go to two or three people. One of them would be Waraqat bin Nawfal, who was a Christian. He was probably one of the only ones who had a pen, and there was only a handful of people who even could read and write. Why would he come with a message like that? And he himself can't read and write. That itself shows you that the message is not from him, but from Almighty, from God Almighty himself, who is the one who is a source and fountain of all knowledge. And that in itself is the push and drive to for those who come to believe, to learn and to gain knowledge. And this gaining knowledge in fact is not only encouraged in Islam, but gaining knowledge is the prerequisite to belief itself. Because to have iman, you have to have knowledge. What do you believe in otherwise? So belief came through gaining knowledge itself. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he received the revelation, before he was given this knowledge, before he became a believer, Allah said, "Ma kunta tadri mal kitabu wal iman," that you did not know what scripture, what kitab, what the book, meaning knowledge, what it was, neither did you know what iman or faith was, because one came with the other. So learning and knowledge is not only profound and necessary, it is a prerequisite to even believing, before you even become a believer. And knowledge itself, of course, is a prerequisite to action itself. Knowledge can be itself, in that regard, divided into various kinds and various levels of knowledge. In Islam, we have knowledge which is obligatory, wajib, knowledge which is mandub or mustahab, highly recommended and rewardable, knowledge which is mubah, which is allowed, and knowledge which is in fact disliked and makruh, and knowledge which is haram. Knowledge which is wajib and obligatory, which is knowledge which is given priority, is the knowledge of deen itself, knowledge of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God Almighty, wants from us as human beings, why we're here, where we're heading. That knowledge, that fundamental knowledge, which is linked with faith, with iman, that knowledge has an aspect of it which is obligatory. That's why ulama and fuqaha said classically and now that that level of knowledge, al-ma'loom fi dini bidhurura, knowledge which in deen, to do with our religious knowledge and practices, which no one have an excuse to say they didn't know. Knowledge of God being one and having no partners. Knowledge of believing in the final messenger and final prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that there's no prophet after him. Knowledge of that you pray five times a day. Knowledge of that Quran is a revelation of God. Knowledge of that drinking khamr and eating the swine flesh is forbidden. Knowledge that adultery and relationship outside marriage is forbidden. This is the kind of knowledge which is made obligatory, which we call obligatory knowledge. Knowledge which is mustahab and recommended is to go beyond that and to go in a deeper sense into this knowledge, at the level of scholarship and becoming expert to guide others. But beyond that, knowledge which is mustahab and recommended is wide open in all fields of knowledge to help in dunya, to help other people, whether it's to do with building bridges, building roads, healing people, all kinds of things to do with geography and travel and science, about the environment, learning about all those kind of things are highly recommended forms of knowledge. And in that regard, therefore, evidences that came from the Quran about learning. Quran looks very negatively at people who are ignorant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only through the first revelation, but throughout the Quran, praises those people who are of understanding. People who use their mind and their aql, people, and actually criticizes those who are ignorant. And that ignorance and that knowing is in a general sense, not just to do with religion. as some people think. So knowledge, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran, فَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So travel in the land and see what happened to the people who before you came and were deniers and rejectors. And many other parts mentioning about traveling in the land to discover and find out. So this encouragement to knowledge and understanding for benefiting and betterment of the world and society itself is that which is highly recommended and encouraged in Islam. Various hadith came from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, some more popular than others. And it's interesting that some of the most popular ones, like for example, seek knowledge min al-Mahdi ila al-Lahad, from the cradle to the grave, is a very popular one. And people use it a lot, but actually we should know that it's fabricated. It's not a saying of the Prophet ﷺ. Similarly, the one which mentions even if you have to travel to China is not a saying and a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, but it is fabricated. Even the one which is perhaps famous as well, talabul ilmi farida ala kulli muslimin wa muslima, that the seeking of knowledge is a fard, an obligation on every male and every female Muslim. This is popularly reported as the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. It is mentioned as a hadith. The first thing to mention about this particular hadith is that the last word, which is popularly transmitted and especially in perhaps translations and books in English, on every female Muslim is an insertion. Perhaps some Ajam or non-Arab introduced this word later on into this statement because they thought ala kulli Muslim perhaps was meaning just the male Muslim, which is nonsense because Muslim means male and female, and there was no need to put Muslima at the end of it. So this is what's called idraj, or insertion by someone else later on. But the hadith itself, which is supposedly from the Prophet ﷺ, in the view of majority of the muhaddithin, it is daif, it is weak, even this hadith. A few said that you can perhaps take it as hasan or good, but there are better hadith. One which Imam Tirmidhi mentions as Hassan is Man kharaja fi talab al-ilmi fahuwa fi sabilillah hatta yarja, which he mentions as a Hassan hadith, as good hadith. Whoever goes out with the purpose of seeking knowledge therein, then they are on the way, fi sabil, on the path of Allah until he or she returns, as an encouragement for knowledge itself. And perhaps the best hadith, which came in a shorter version in Muslim and a longer version in Abi Dawood, is Man Salaka, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Man Salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahala Allahu lahu bihi tariqan ila al-jannah. Whoever goes out on a path seeking knowledge therein, then Allah will, by it, make a path, easy path for him to enter paradise. That's one of the shorter versions of it. In Tirmidhi, the hadith is longer, which is also authentic. This is a Sahih hadith. It goes on and gives further encouragement to the seeker of knowledge. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَإِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَدَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ وَرِضًا بِمَا يَصْنَعُ. And surely the angels, they stretch out their wings in humility, it's as though out of respect for the seeker of knowledge, for the seeker of the one striving for learning. Ridham bima yasna, happy and content with what this seeker of knowledge is doing. And then the hadith goes on, wa innal alim لَيَسْتَغْفِرُهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى الْحِتَانِ فِي الْمَاءِ. And surely for the scholar, the one of knowledge, everything in the heavens and the earth ask forgiveness for this person, even the fish in the sea, as the Prophet ﷺ said. And also the Prophet ﷺ continued in the hadith saying, فَضْلُ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ ala sa'id al-kawakib. Surely the virtue of the scholar over the abid, both are good. Abid is one who is worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing extra fast, extra salahs, extra tasbih, extra salat al-nabi, all those extra beyond the obligation, of course, it's talking about. So there's that person, and the one who, in contrast, is using that extra time to learn and to understand more. The Prophet ﷺ said that the virtue of the scholar above the abid is like the virtue of the moon over the stars, the rest of the stars. Stars give a little bit of light as well. Stars are positive in that sense, but they are no match in the darkness of ignorance for the moon, which is giving the guiding light. So the Prophet ﷺ contrasts it with that. Now, when we talk about these ahadith, etc., and what we get from the Quran, here we need to clarify some misconceptions that some people are giving. I've heard imams from the minbar talk about the encouragement to knowledge, and they say, oh yes, this is encouraging, that we must strive to learn knowledge about deen, aside from kufr knowledge. And I've heard imams talk in this country about encouraging parents, look, this aside from your children learning kufr knowledge in school and kufr knowledge in university, you should and push them to learn about their deen. This is what the Quran and Sunnah are saying. And this is nonsense, because the Quran and Sunnah hasn't divided knowledge like that. When we say kufr knowledge, it means that we must make it haram. If studying in university about medicine and chemistry and biology and geography is called kufr knowledge, then it must become haram for us to study it. Otherwise, we shouldn't call it kufr knowledge. Or knowledge of the disbelievers, because this knowledge its source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not knowledge belonging to any particular nation. The only thing we can call kufr knowledge actually is the knowledge of witchcraft and black magic, which has been made haram and forbidden for us. The rest of knowledge is knowledge which is being encouraged and mustahab for us. Unless it is futile and wastes our time. Yeah? Maybe it's futile in the sense that you're learning when you're playing computer games day and night as well, and you get better and better and quicker and go from one stage to the next in shorter period of time, and you think you achieved something, but it's actually under lahu. It would be under karaha and makruh, because actually you're learning very little which is of benefit to anyone. So the first thing to clarify is the encouragement is in regards to knowledge and learning in a general sense. All of that knowledge is encouraged from the Quran and Sunnah. And all of that comes under whoever goes out on a path seeking knowledge, that they are fi sabilillah, they're on the way of Allah. But what's necessary here, that the intention is correct. That the learning is being done in all these fields, not just for the sake of gaining personal status or filling or lining our pockets with money, but to serve humanity. For the sake of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that Allah encourages, because we're learning actually to benefit others. And that is crucial to understand. And then it comes under the category of fi sabilillah. And then with that proviso, it becomes knowledge and scholarship which has better and greater virtue than the one who is doing extra praying and extra fasts, etc. And it's well known. With Imam Malik, for example, in one instance, he's sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi and he's teaching, and while he's teaching, the adhan goes and someone from the circle of his students stands up to get up and pray sunnah. Imam Malik said to him famously, he said, this is better than what you're going to get up and do. So, in other words, sunnah is also mustahab. It is not the fard part of the prayer. But Imam Malik saying that this learning that you're doing, yeah, is more important, more virtuous than the extra in ibadah. That's why he's just basically explaining the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. But on the other hand, to clarify, we have a large category of people who are striving and running after knowledge and learning, But what they have forgotten about is the learning in deen. And that is a bigger group of people. And here's another misconception and idea. That we, and that category of people who have forgotten their deen, we don't, that is not the encouragement from Quran and Sunnah. Quran and Sunnah made the encouragement to learn and to progress, but not to forget the Creator, who is the fountain and source of all knowledge. And learning all that, of course, the top priority of learning will be to learn about the Creator and about deen itself. That's not at the expense. It's not to be put aside and thrown away because we're too busy with everything else. Because what really matters in the end, and therefore learning of deen takes priority all over all, because learning of deen is showing us how to live our life, the human beings. If we forget that, then we forget ourselves. If we forget that, we forget ourselves. Because for the human being, the crucial realization is to realize where we come from, where we're going, and the fact that this is a journey. That knowledge is established by learning about the deen. The source of that knowledge is through revelation, through prophethood, not something that we can rationalize and work out and do for ourselves. Knowledge, therefore, again, can be divided into various categories from a different perspective. Knowledge which is given to us inherently as all human beings in our fitrah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He created us. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. That was the knowledge that was given to Adam and all his dhurriyat. And Allah taught Adam all the names, for example. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And by the soul and He who shaped it. And then He imbued it and put in it فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Put in each soul the realization of what is the difference between bad, evil, and godliness. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. Succeeded is the one who purifies that soul, and the one who is destroyed and lost is the one who corrupts it. So given the choices, that is part of our fitrah. Allah created us with that. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, كُلُّ مَوْلُودٌ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ وَإِنَّ أَبَوَاهُ يُحَوِّدَانِهِ وَيُنَصِّرَانِهِ وَيُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Prophet ﷺ said, all children are born on the fitrah. It is the parents then make them into Jews, Christians, or fire worshippers, or you could go on and say into atheists, etc., etc. And the Prophet ﷺ here didn't mention Islam. The fitrah here is a natural disposition. Doesn't mean it is Islam, but the natural disposition is the learning that and the realization that Allah put inside every human being to search and to think. And we have a natural disposition to realize who our Creator is. So then, and beyond that, the knowledge and the capacity to think with and to use our minds and to invent, all of its sources, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether we invent a computer or whether we invent an aeroplane, and beyond that, all of that is with the mind and the thinking and ability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator, put in us. So that's one aspect. Knowledge itself is that which is inside us. Knowledge create part of our nature. Knowledge itself that we learn through observation and experience is part of that knowledge. And knowledge which is only given to us and through revelation, through prophethood, which we cannot come to. That is the knowledge of deen. That is the purpose of the prophets that came. And that was to do with how we were going to live our lives as moral, upright beings. That wasn't to do with how fast we can go, how much money we can make, and how advanced we can become in the skies and in the seas, but more to do with what was the difference between good and evil, that the fact that there is good and evil. So this was to do with our very essence of being human being, very essence of being human being, which many have lost today. And so we need to re-realize And that's how much, that's why the knowledge of Deen took a priority over all other knowledge. And it is that which drives the rest. Notice even with the first revelation, Iqra, read, Bismi Rabbika Alladhi Khalaq, with the name of your Lord who created, to make us realize, first and foremost, the premise of the rest of the learning is the premise that Allah created and sent us, and we're going to go back to Him. Messengers came not to convince people that God existed. This is a new idea. This is a corruption from materialism of today and a distancing from the Creator, which has led to the confusion and the human mind. Science and knowledge of science, whether it's biology, cosmology or physics or anything, never drives people away from God. It's the mindset that we come to that knowledge with and how we view already. But God Almighty, His existence isn't enough. It's a realization, once we realize the messengers, what they really brought for information for us, was to realize that there is only one God and He is worthy of all worship, and there is no other God besides Him. We come from Him, we're heading to Him. And what matters is that we are to live an upright and moral and good life. So that information was the most important aspect of knowledge and learning for us. So no doubt there's a drive to learn that, but the drive for knowledge is much wider than that. And furthermore, knowledge itself is not the goal, and people miss that. And in fact, knowledge and learning today has become bereft. It's become like a body without a spirit and without a soul. The real purpose of knowledge and learning was to produce upright model individuals in society who were noble people. Today, learning has become about dry learning about the subject, about the particular science, about a particular field, and passing exams, ticking boxes, and little to do with nobility and character. Whereas real purpose of learning was to produce cultured individuals, as it used to do, actually, the world over. Not just in the Muslim world. People of learning were people who were cultured individuals. And Islam, that's how it sees knowledge. To put the soul back in learning, to put the spirit back in learning. Learning should really be about producing people who are noble, people who therefore, more than anything, aside from rote learning, they learn about what is dignified. To learn to not be greedy, to learn not to be arrogant, to learn to be those who sacrifice for others, to learn to stand for truth, to learn to protect those who are vulnerable. For those who are being oppressed, to stand for their rights, to learn to stand for justice, to learn to sacrifice their carnal animal desires for the sake of betterment for society, to learn to protect the environment, to learn to be standard bearers of honesty and justice and mercy. That should be the real drive towards what knowledge and learning is about. And that's what's missing. People have little to do with that today. But for Muslims and Islam, that is the purpose of learning. The purpose of learning is to first understand. It is not just rote learning. It is to understand, to become better human beings who are useful to other human beings and to animals and to the environment. And therefore, knowledge requires not just understanding, but understanding which leads to action. And ignorance has always been, therefore, seen as a negative. Ignorance, people of ignorance can do lots of things, but what they do may not be a benefit. That's why famously the great Khalif Umar bin Abdul Aziz, he said in a statement, he said, "Man amila bi ghayri ilmin kana yufsidu akthar mimma yuslih." Whoever behaves and does lots of actions without knowledge, in other words, in ignorance, is more likely to produce more fasad and corruption and bad than good. Because it is only with enlightenment, understanding. You take any example in life, whether you're, if you leave an ignorant person to deal with it, they may press lots of buttons, but they end up maybe destroying the machine because they're ignorant of how to use it or take no benefit from it at all. It applies in all walks of life. So ignorance has always been looked in that sense in a negative way, but knowledge must lead to action. And knowledge must lead to action. That's how it came in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fa'alam, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for example, in one verse, fa'alam annahu la ilaha illallah wastaghfir li dhanbika wa lil mu'minina wal mu'minat. So you see here, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, giving the knowledge, but the knowledge leads to a consequence. It leads to amal, to action, with understanding. Because once you've understood, Allah is saying, so know that there is no God besides the one God. To know means to understand here, actually. And when you understand that, it leads you to a position of humility to realize that if that's the case, that I'm going to go and answer to him. So what does Allah say then? وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. So ask forgiveness for your sins. Yeah, to do with good and evil again. And for the believing men and believing women, as was being said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which applies to the rest of us as well. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in regards to knowledge and understanding, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءُ. Only those who are from his ibad, from his servants, only those, إِنَّمَا is used here, only those are in awe and fear of God. Those who are ulama from his ibad. Ulama here doesn't necessarily mean only scholars. Ulama here means, because scholarship can be of all, any level. Ulama here means those people who have knowledge. So knowledge, understanding should lead to humility before Allah and produce the best kind of people. In other words, knowledge must have a consequence. It must be just not just be a rote learning, but the purpose of knowledge is fahm, is understanding. Fiqh, also another Arabic word. Why Abu Hanifa therefore called the knowledge of deen, he meant understanding, he called it al-fiqh al-akbar. Al-fiqh al-akbar. The greatest understanding, or the greatest and most important of knowledge, he called the knowledge of deen and its beliefs, al-fiqh al-akbar. To give that importance to it. So, what we understand is knowledge and learning is not only encouraged in Islam, it is a very seat of belief. Knowledge is not only a prerequisite to action after understanding, but that action and understanding requires knowledge, without which we'll be behaving and living in an ignorant fashion. And the best of knowledge, beyond all knowledges, is to realize and our Creator. And the knowledge of our Creator cannot come just from our guesswork, but it is come through revelation that the Creator himself has decided to send his prophets with, the final of whom was Muhammad, peace and prayer be upon him, who was sent as an unlettered prophet, with the guidance for the whole of humanity till Yawm al-Qiyamah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to understand, to learn, to understand, and to put into action, and give us the tawfiq for that. Allahumma ameen. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfiru li wa lakum innahu ghafurur.